Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite joy, wisdom, and laughter, engaging topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective. With myself, Cynthia Sloan, and co-host,
Ani Avedisian. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in tonight. You know, Cynthia and I always look forward to these Mondays where we just get to sit and chat with you. We know you're out there. We can't see you, but we know you're out there in the ether. Mm-hmm. And we do invite you to give us a call at some point during the show and, you know, talk to us about your questions, any questions you have, any comments. Let me give you that number now to make a note of. It's 1-877-876-5227. One more time. 1-877-876-5227. Back to you, Cynthia.
Thank you, Ani. Welcome, everyone. Today's topic, and I would say level of interest for many, known or unknown, is depression. Depression, of course, is an emotion and an energetic that interacts either personally or we all bear witness to others, known or unknown in our lives, going through that. I wanted to talk about depression and Ani as well in as many different layers and dimensions and facets that we can get shared with on this show. I looked at the word depression and it ended up separating for me and the depression became pressed upon, burdened, really entangling pathways to lightness. Depression is not just a clinical depression, but it can be a seasonal depression. Depression can be brought on by trauma. It can be brought on by past life recall. It can be brought on by worldly events. It can even be brought on chemically from within your own system. So it's endless, the experience and the differentiating kinds of depression, postpartum, traumatic stress disorder, etc. And it's really interesting for everyone to contemplate what the medical community has done with depression as far as how it has become the window, the doorway, and the auditorium, if you will, for many pharmaceutical companies, et cetera, to really use depression as an opportunity to participate in it on a global level. And I, Cynthia, do not advocate anyone who is on antidepressants to go off of them. I say never replace your own truth with a dialogue or a reading. Just contemplate today's show. But as far as medical sound advice, do follow your own with your own intuition, your counsel, and your doctors. Do not go off any medication, regardless of what we say here today. Do follow it very strictly and slowly, gently come off medication if you're desiring to do that. But depression is, whether it's chemical or natural, it's something that I believe really stems from an emotional, unexpressed feeling. And it becomes not just one, but several. They become entangled, and it usually indicates a loss, you recognize depression as a loss emotionally because you often experience loss of sleep, loss of intent to want to do anything, loss of appetite, loss of wanting to be, and it can go on and on and on. And so often it's the energy loss, the emptiness, and the no outgoing energy, only incoming in a very collapsed, contracted way, in a compressed way. And so depression is very much about a compression of emotions, and those can be from any level. I'm one that believes dis-ease and disconnection happens in your light body, in your emotional body, etc. It goes through all the bodies before it manifests to really get your attention on a physical level. But depression is also, it's fear underlined. Because you become a vacuum of magnetic struggle because we're not only energetic and vibrational beings, we're also magnetic beings. And anything you fear becomes a danger. And so you create more depression as a way of self-preservation. So depression is fascinating because it's not necessarily a bad thing. It can be an opening to contemplate what are you really afraid of. It can also be an opening to many other layers of yourself. But before I go on, I want to go ahead and invite Ani in, and I definitely want to hear your thoughts on depression.
Oh, well, hi, Cynthia. Hey, you know, I agree with you, and I do want to thank you for stating the fact that if you are actually on some sort of antidepressant medication, you can't just stop them. Because that is a roller coaster of a ride. You have to be weaned off those under medical supervision. So anybody out there, if you feel very, very happy at the end of the show, don't just suddenly stop taking your drugs, because you will not be happy. Okay. So, you know, many different types of depression and still kind of a social stigma attached to it. A lot of people don't want to talk about it. And, you know, this is a vibrational universe, and vantage point is everything. So if we are down in the dumps, so will our lives. It's very important that we address this issue, social stigma or not. I, just like Cynthia, do believe that everything comes from a divine perspective, sort of outward. Everything is emotional first and starts off in the light body. But we do have these physical bodies, which we need to live on this planet. So when the depression sinks in to our cellular components, then we have to deal with it energetically, emotionally, and we have to deal with it on a cellular, physical level as well. And in my work as a medical intuitive, a lot of the times depression isn't really diagnosed accurately by psychiatrists. It's diagnosed as a secondary symptom by primary care physicians who are looking at something like chronic fatigue syndrome or some other physical symptomology. And not that I'm saying anything against psychiatrists or anybody in the medical profession, because there's room for all types of medicine on this planet. You just have to know what to use when and why. But if you do find that you are going to see a medical practitioner, and I'll give you some advice on that later, but rather than go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, do see your primary care physician first. Would just like to clarify a little bit about depression. Like I said, we'd like to talk from a divine perspective out, but 99.9% of the time we do find our spiritual truths while we're working through the physical symptomology back inward to the heart and mind of God. So let's be sure to clarify the difference between occasional emotional depression, things, responses to situations that we're sort of in the process of healing and working out, and the difference between those and chronic depressions, which are ongoing, potentially very damaging, if not actually potentially dangerous. Now, you know, if we're occasionally down in the dumps, that can be resolved quite easily. Sometimes not, sometimes a little professional advice is needed. Sometimes it's just like a seasonal disorder. That's fine. That's all something we can cope with. If it's an ongoing issue, something that needs to be discussed with the medical profession, don't worry about the social stigma. It doesn't need to be broadcast from the rooftops. You know, help is always available. It can be done quietly and discreetly. And as my father used to say, you know, what is and who is normal anyway? You know, whatever type of depression you have, let's just, you know, gently, lovingly, and being kind with ourselves, let's take steps to resolve the issue. Again, I state, it's a vibrational universe. You know, vantage point is everything. Now, depression, it can be a little tough to diagnose. After all, it's not a virus. It's not a bacteria. It's not an open bleeding wound or a broken leg. It's a mind thing. For some people, it's nebulous. It's sort of out there, in there, in the inner workings of the mind. So let's not be afraid of it. Let's not be afraid to look at it and deal with it. All said, I think I'll go back and say that all healing begins and ends with spiritual healing. It's that finding that spiritual equilibrium and that balance and harmony. It's a journey, it's a process, and many, many questions will be asked along the way, and most of these questions will lead to more questions before we get to some answers, but it really is worth the trip. Because anybody out there who has been depressed on any level for any length of time knows that it can be a struggle to exist. And we don't want to do that. We want our lives with joy, with ease, and, with comfort. And even if you've been told that your depression or your mental state is something that you've inherited, it's something that's genetic, you don't really need to buy into that. I just urge you to consider the fact that even if it's you don't have to swim in your family's gene pool, I think is what I'm trying to say. You know, mind over matter, mind over power. Be empowered. Just because you have mental conditions in your family genetically, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going that way. The other thing I want to just, you know, talk about a little bit, you know, Cynthia mentioned a little about the pharmaceutical companies and how basically all of our depressions and our illnesses have been manipulated for pharmaceutical industry gain. If you're consulting a medical professional for your depression or for anything really, you need to find one that you feel comfortable with. And in my opinion, this would be someone who can put their ego aside and work with other practitioners. There is not only one road to Rome or to heaven or to success. You know, when you're working with mind, body, and soul, everybody has a different area of expertise. And if any one practitioner thinks that they have all of the answers and they think that your questions aren't valid or you're taking up too much of their time, fire them and move on and get yourself another practitioner. Don't give up your power. You know, treat your doctors with respect, of course, but treat them as consultants in your health. You know, analyze and digest what each of them has to say. Take what you consider to be of value. You know, as Cynthia would say, if it resonates, then make it your own. Do what feels right. Don't follow protocols that don't feel right in your gut. And do be empowered and educate yourself a little bit. If you don't take enough time to think about solving your own issues, chances are that the medical practitioners won't either, and you don't want to end up just another medicated person in the system. You know? And this is why I recommend perhaps visiting your primary care physician first to get an overall view of mind and you know, the whole blood work and the body and the mind together. You are going to be diagnosed far more frequently with depression as a secondary issue with a primary care physician than you are with a psychiatrist. And feel free to ask as many questions of your practitioners as you need. And that is the place to start. I'm going to let Cynthia carry on with what she was saying, and then I'll chip in a bit later.
Great. Thank you, Ani.
Sure.
You know, situational depression can be a situation that happened to you in this life, in past life, in your childhood, and in your adult life. It doesn't, the situation or what occurred to create that launch sequence isn't so much important as where you are in the moment. I definitely agree with Ani when we're talking about empowerment. And that is what I think many people have forgotten with depression, is the empowerment part. They feel owned. They feel almost completely unable to create or to think or to participate in anything outside of the depression. It almost feels like a cloak, like it is the burden and the weight of it is overwhelming any other possibility. And a lot of people struggle with not even close to feeling empowered, but even struggle with getting out of bed. And again, it's dependent upon whether it's, you know, bipolar, manic depression, or if it's seasonal, or if it's a relationship. Either way, whatever the title thrown upon it in your life and your circumstance, depression, regardless, if it's in your life, it is not something necessarily that you are being joyful about. And so the one thing to do is to utilize what depression can offer you, and that is insight. It can offer you insight into making friends with your emotions. The emotions, depression usually follows a cycle of emotions. It is a mental, but it's also very much a feeling body experience, where it follows a cycle of loss, of hate, of sadness, of all limiting emotions, and it usually repeats itself over and over, because without its repetition, if the feeling body is all of a sudden to start including some other emotion, then the depression aspect, and I'm here for people to think about the possibility that depression has come into your life, regardless of circumstance, for you to contemplate, is there fear there? What is there danger there that I'm not consciously aware of? And is depression coming in to for me to disable parts of myself so that I feel more at ease and also that I feel safer within your environment, your circumstance, or within yourself? because depression is an overlining, and fear usually is the underlining. Make friends with and get to know the different emotions, why they're there, instead of relating to them just at face value as hate and as loss, etc. Start having a dialogue with just that emotion, and stop fearing those emotions. And what you end up doing, if that's the chosen course, and again, make it your own if it doesn't resonate, is you start creating a dialogue which then disassembles and takes away from the overwhelming feeling and the bigness of the depression, starts breaking it up. Instead of in one huge ball, it's now broken up into distinct characteristics that you can relate to, communicate with, and all of a sudden what happens? You are present in that equation. Before it was just the feelings, the circumstance, and the situation. Now all of a sudden, you, the you that exists and always did, even in the depression, is present and communicating with other parts of yourself. You know, I want to say that we are light, we are vibration, we are matter, we are all these divine instruments of unending possibility. Depression is very much like neurotransmitters. So if you were playing a computer game or if you were on a piano, that the keyboard, there are certain keys on that keyboard that stopped working. And so when you hit that key, there was no sound. Also, a neurotransmitter in the brain, when the energy, when the transmitter goes to a certain direction of the brain or to spark it, to send the message, the launch sequence, that part of the brain is not on. It has been diminished. It has, the depression has, or the event has taken it offline. And so what I'm saying to everyone listening is, apart from all the help that's out there, you have help within you. You're like neurotransmitters or like keys on a piano, yourself as a being. The opportunity to change the sequence, literally, of what's being played is as simple as calling upon the equation of joy, light, laughter, and this is what I mean. When you are feeling depressed and you are feeling the energetics and the vibration and the magnetics and the electricity of what's literally the equation, the mathematics and the science of what depression means, when you keep playing that over and over, your body, your chemical body keeps playing that over and over, it all of a sudden becomes you. You don't relate to yourself in any other way. It has an equation to it. If you, even in your depression, start inviting the keys, the neurotransmitters in your brain, or however you want to visualize it, to start running the equation of joy through your system, of light, of laughter, of success, you don't even have to relate to it emotionally. I'm inviting you to understand that those emotions related to the objects that represent joy, love, laughter, empowerment to you in your life, those objects, those visions, those interactions, even if you're not feeling them, they have an equation to them. They have literally, the neurotransmitters will start running differently within your brain system. It'll run differently within your emotional body. And you start literally changing the score of your symphony, the score of the keys that were dormant come back online. And what I'm saying to you is within you is a powerhouse of opportunity. And that's just one way of many, and more I'll talk about later on in the show, that will give you an opportunity to feel empowered within the experience that you're having if you don't have access outside you to reach towards other people. Ani?
Yeah, thanks, Cynthia. You know, not dealing with our emotions, that's what gets us into this whole depression loop. And when we go to our psychiatrist or we go to our doctors and we, you know, tell them our problems, and we tell them that we're unable to deal with our emotions, and that's pretty much where we're at with them, what they will do then is prescribe us medication, antidepressants and the like, which will stop us from having to feel those emotions and start to crash the neural pathways in the mind, in the actual brain, so that we don't actually have to feel the emotions and we're suddenly happy, or we think we're happy. But what's actually happening is that we're not feeling the emotions, we're not resolving the emotions. Emotions are the main source of intelligence on this planet. is how we learn what we do want and what we don't want. And so we go from perhaps being depressed and unhappy to being sort of not necessarily happy. We're in a sort of fake state of happiness. And then when we try to get off these antidepressants, the spark is gone, and all of a sudden, all of the emotions are back in there if we haven't done any of the psychological work to address why we were depressed in the first place. You know, you get off the antidepressants, and all those emotions are right back up, and fear and panic and anxiety and everything sets back in again because you've taken these antidepressants that crash the pathways that we're supposed to have, which is, you know, to resolve these emotions, the whole purpose of our evolution here on this planet. So I think, you know, that blocking of the joy, it's something we have to be proactive with. You know, we have to believe that we deserve to be happy. We have to believe that we want to thrive and not survive. At some point, no matter how depressed we are there, even if we think that we're lying to ourselves just by looking in the mirror and going, I am happy, I am happy, I am happy, I am a divine being, or whatever, remembering something that'll make us happy and take us back to a positive vantage point, do it. Buy a CD by Louise Hay with all her wonderful affirmations, and do something to get yourself back so that your brain is sparking again. Like Cynthia says, those synapses are firing again. You're not saying these affirmations to make them true. They are actually true. We are happy. We are joyful. All these things are our birthright. But we, you know, we're temporarily in a funk with this depression. But you have to understand, all of us, that the will to overcome has to be there. You know, at some point, the big picture, the universal principles have to be there. We do need to understand illness is not a punishment. It's not a booby prize. You know, it is just for us another opportunity, another chance for personal growth. So we need to, you know, face ourselves and take a look at ourselves, analyze our lives thus far when we've been, you know, when we're depressed and we're unhappy, and think about what choice you want to make going forward. And there are quite a few suggestions that I have, actually, that I'd like to share with you. You may think you're depressed, but sometimes it really is just a seasonal thing. Sometimes it really is a food allergy. So some of the questions that I would encourage people to ask themselves before they go and seek professional help, some very simple questions like, what triggers the blues for you? What influences your moods? Is it, for example, and this is so common, is it a change in the weather? Is it barometric pressure? Is it, like me, you know, gray skies and a lot of rain 8 months a year? Was that a beep, Cynthia? Do we have a caller?
Caller, are you there? Hello? No, go right ahead, Ani.
No caller? Okay. You know, as I was saying, you know, I love living in Portland, Oregon. It's a wonderful city, but it rains and rains and rains and rains and rains. And I started not to like Portland until I realized I literally did have a seasonal disorder. Now, you know, back in previous cultures, we were more attuned to earth cycles. You know, we the ebb and the flow of the tides and all of this, and we had a greater connection with the earth. We seem to have lost that now, a lot of us, in our busy lives. But even though we're out of touch, it still affects us. So, you know, is it that? Is it changes in the weather? Is it barometric pressure? The most common form of depression, and so easily resolved, is food allergies and food sensitivities. I've had dozens of cases of people who are suicidal, and all they had was celiac disease, an ability to digest glutens and wheats. And I know a lot of our American wheats and grains are genetically engineered, whereas you may not be allergic to the Italian ones, but you will be allergic to the American ones. And, you know, just changing the diet, taking a look at what you eat, a really good look at the food sensitivities, can mean a matter of life and death for some people. The quality of life so improves if you find out what your food sensitivities are. And, you know, for ladies, I think we all know we should, you know, is it affected by our menstrual cycle? How much sleep are we getting? Is it to do with the medications that we're taking? A lot of ladies these days take birth control pills, and they don't feel so hot. There's a good reason for that. You know, take a look at all the over-the-counter and prescribed medications that we take. Also take a look at your alcohol consumption. When you're not feeling very well, it's very easy to have a drinky poo or two, and we think we feel happy, but what it actually does is it crashes the brain, makes the brain smaller, and it's actually a depressant, as are recreational drugs, as are cigarettes. something else to look at is, do certain people trigger our depression? Yeah, that's something to look at. And a very big one these days, especially, environmental allergies. You know, gas, gasoline. I can't even go into the into one of those hardware stores like Lowe's or Home Depot. If I go anywhere near any solvents, I practically have a psychotic episode. Simple things that you have in your house, oven cleaner, that type of thing. Cosmetics. You know, we women, we use a lot of cosmetics. A lot of them have xenohormones in them that trigger some sort of unstable reaction in our brain chemistry. So before you really, you know, address the fact that you think you have a really serious depression, I encourage you to take a look at this list and see if it's one of these environmental or food allergies or some sort of barometric pressure, that type of thing. Because I'd say 7 times out of 10, that's what it is. And that's easily fixed. Back to you, Cynthia.
Thank you, Ani. Another thing to address, too, is to really concentrate on the fact that depression can become a blanket. It becomes not only a blanket, but in time, a comfy blanket that people feel very comfortable in. It's almost an intimacy between you and the depression, even though there are feelings of hatred. It literally becomes, at times, a love-hate relationship. I have seen and worked with a lot of clients that come to me either depressed or with other issues of imbalance. And we use the very issue to reveal to them why they're carrying that, why it's a part of their life at that moment. What does it represent? What does it symbolically represent? And it opens up layers and layers and halls of records that almost go back into sometimes their first life or their ancestry. It's like Ani was saying, connection to their cellular ancestry, et cetera. So there's endless opportunity, but one of the things to think about is think of your comfort level. If you are waking and sleeping thinking of only that depression, then most likely that depression has become the most intimate, the most important relationship in your life. And it has even taken over the one and most unique role, and that is you in your life. You've actually been focusing on the depression. And so to really contemplate about why does depression get more time, more attention? Why is it easier? What is the message depression's holding for you? That blanket that you're under and its comfortability, you might be miserable under that blanket, but you're under it nonetheless, and you are fueling and feeding that depression more by focusing more upon it. And so we need to look at also your comfort levels, not only with yourself internally. I say first, always go through your core center, and then outward. But your environment, does your environment speak on behalf of where you want to be? You know, put up some paint, change the color, to move the furniture, put up bright colors. You know, take an action that takes your focus out of the comfort level of depression into expanding your comfort level. And really, utilize the imbalances in your life, regardless if they're physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, as tools, because this life literally is talking to you out loud. And most of the time, it's talking to you out loud about positive, joyful issues, but we only take notice as a humanity when it is an uncomfortable issue. And then it has our attention. It has our attention, and in it is the opportunity to really discover where you have not yet claimed yourself, where you have not yet forgiven yourself or another, where you have not yet, where you've decided to use depression as a crutch, where you've decided to use depression as a reason why not to go for it, why not to put anything into plan, etc. And so depression becomes actually empowered, and it becomes more of a reason, and it becomes an intimate relationship that literally, when any other opportunity comes in or from within, you will find yourself having to almost give permission to feel something other than depression, to take notice, literally, that this blanket of comfort has changed. And it's going to change when you sow a new color into it, when you create a new vibration and a new interaction with it. So So we are vibration. Emotion is vibration. Objects and experiences are vibration. They all have an equation. You know, we are all scientific equations of the most high and the most perfected form. There is no accident, or you are not necessarily having to be the one that carries the loss or the lack of for the rest of humanity. I've had people come to me before and say, I feel like everything good happens to everyone around me, and it never happens to me. I've had healers, practitioners, scientists, doctors come to me and say, I help and heal and take care of everyone around me, but it never happens for me. And what's interesting is really using and utilizing what's not happening. Why do you want to make it happen? And where is your energetic block? Where is your vibrational block? People, what I'm saying here in a simplistic sense is we are walking equations of energy, vibration, of all the beauty and all the magnificence of the science, of the sound waves, of everything. We are the walking perfection of that. So instead of listening to a song and hearing there's a wrong note in it and deciding to throw it away and never listen to it again, recognize that if there is a note within you that is off, that very note holds the key as to why the rest of you is off and the freedom to create the music and the beauty that you want to reach. So yes, there's people out there to help you, and it can be a circumstance of any kind, but the empowerment comes from literally changing your relationship to the blanket of depression as an opportunity for a relationship of intimacy, to contemplate it, communicate with it, and to really change, not necessarily yourself, like forcing depression off of you, but instead realizing that you want to flow with it, you want to learn from it, you want to have a dialogue with it. Because so often we give our power away to depression, and we end up listening to the repetitive script over and over instead of introducing a new one. Also, I want to talk about unconditional love. We talk about fear. I want to talk about love, or the lack of love, self-love, as one of the main sources of light, of love and joy, of health, of abundance, monetarily or otherwise, literally the equation and the science of love within your heart. If you are in a depression, regardless if it's chemical, regardless if it's seasonal, the equation of love, what you can even define as an object that represents perfect love, like nature, a baby's laughter, a flower, what have you, little mommy ducks with their little babies. If you can visualize and allow yourself to go there, it's literally about getting the neurotransmitters in your brain to start focusing on other sparks and other languages, and basically to come out of the cocoon of depression, but to not leave it behind only so that you get to enter back into it, but to really understand its offering you, its gift to you. And yes, I did say its gift to you. Depression, just like any other imbalance, has a gift in it, and that is the freedom from it, the teaching, and the birth from it, and therefore to never need to go back to it again. Ani?
You know, what are we without our issues? Well, you know, without our issues, we're just divine beings. That's all pure and simple, just creators of our own experience, whatever realm we want to create on. But, you know, here we are on planet Earth having this wonderful physical non-reality life, and these issues are great. These issues are our emotions. Our emotions are our intelligence. This is how we learn. And the good news is, regardless of how depressed you are, here's some good news. Joy doesn't need any special equipment. It is, just like Cynthia said, something internal. That little default spark that we have inside of us that says we're divine and therefore joy is our birthright is there. It doesn't have to, you don't have to go anywhere to discover it. It's there. You just uncover it, find that little spark button, and press it a little bit every day. Joy doesn't need special equipment. It's there. It's inbuilt. You know, I know that when you're I've been depressed myself. I had a couple of years, a very long time ago, where I really wasn't doing very well. So I'm qualified to talk on this subject. But, you know, everyone keeps saying to you at that point, you know, happiness is a choice, happiness is a choice. Boy, that was annoying, you know, when you're at that level of consciousness that you didn't understand. But, you know, those of us who are depressed or, you know, going through that, don't be upset with your friends when they come up to you and they try to make you happier. You know, they say to you, no, happiness is a choice. It's an opportunity to learn. Don't beat yourself up. Evolve at your own pace. You know, don't assume that people are trivializing your problems just because they're there trying to be bright and shiny around you, trying to make you happy. You know, they can't see inside you. They can't see inside the inner corridors of your mind. They don't know your path. And the same applies to them, you know, vice versa. So don't knock your friends down or shut them out because they want to help you. You know, just a kind word, just somebody somewhere is going to have a helping hand for you. Somebody's going to say the right thing in the right way, and that's going to open the door for you so that you can leave your depression. So do make a point of just, you know, hanging in there with your friends. Somebody somewhere there has good news for you. You know, I think about, let me just give you the number for anybody who wants to share real quick before I start pontificating for hours here. 1-877-876-5227. 1-877-876-5227 for anyone who wants to share their stories. Immune systems. You know, again, I do go back to being a medical intuitive. So, you know, just as our bodies need enough core nutrients at all times for, well, basically for normal function, but also in case of emergency, so do our minds and our emotional bodies. Let me put it this way. You know, when you have a fever and your body gets really, really hot and it sweats and it sweats and it sweats, and everyone tells you that that's because your body's heating up so that it sweats out all the toxins. Well, it does sweat out the toxins, but that's not why your body heats up. Your body heats up to release the core nutrients that it needs to fight the toxins, and then both of those core nutrients and the toxins are sweated out at the same time. That's how the body works, and that's why the fever kicks in. So as it is in your body, as it is in your mind, it's the same thing. If you don't have those emotional core values and core understanding of universal principles and the concept of unconditional love, the creative vibration of the universe, when you get into a panic mode and you get into depression and you decide to work through it and you have the emotional fever that will release that, if you don't have those core principles inside of you and you don't believe in yourself, it's going to be a difficult journey for you. Understood? You know, when you feel attacked emotionally, you will have a trigger-happy immune system emotionally and physically. You know, it's always going to be on the lookout for the next attack. So this is why we say do look at the big picture, make peace with your life, make peace with your childhood, so that, you know, when you have these attacks, you have processed all of your emotions. You're understanding that everything is a journey. Everybody has a different soul contract with each other. And you know, you understand the actual basis of absolute equality and absolute unconditional love. These core values will serve you so that when you're ready to shake off the depression and you have that emotional fever, you know, all of your core nutrients are there to help and protect you and bring you back to a health and stable place. Don't allow yourself, if you're not at that stage, to get into a chronic depression. You will end up eventually with extreme sensitivity to everything, both physically and emotionally. Okay, you know, body awareness is as essential when you're depressed as your mental awareness is. All right, mm-hmm. Back to you, Cynthia.
Thank you, Ani. You know, I want to talk about social pressure. I have a lot of people that are very, regardless of their title, they're very advanced in a very strong position, if you will, in their workplace. But yet they are going through the steps and they're extremely depressed. They're not happy there. And what I want to talk about is the social pressure of giving up your dream. So many people that I see or talk to all over the world, they have a dream. They had it when everyone has a dream, as far as I'm concerned. They had a dream in their childhood or in their teenage years. They had hope. They had anything possible and opportunity, etc. And they moved into experiencing a social pressure, regardless if it was familial social pressure or outside of them, that told them, no, you can't have this. No, you can't be that. No, that's not your right. And so it either happened quickly and it was traumatic, or it was a slowly taking away from the individual person's dream, their hope, just really the person discarding those opportunities. And it comes to a point where even in their adulthood, they have literally shut themselves down. Giving up your dream causes you to become depressed so that you don't feel the tragedy of giving up that dream. So you don't feel the emotion or the acting out towards either an individual or a social setting that has caused you to give that up or that you gave it up for. And so, so many people are carrying a depression in regards to a quiet dream just with themselves emotionally, maybe in a relationship, or a bigger dream. What is depression hiding for you? What is it hiding for you? So many people uncover that it's hiding a dream they've forgotten or a goal or a hope, and then the opportunity is to come out from behind that depression and claim your dream. But you get to claim your dream and give a new life to it, a new description and a new title based on who you are now. And sometimes just reclaiming yourself and reclaiming your dream, reclaiming the hope and all of the, I would say, energetic, alive and energy that offered in your life force, that becomes enough for some people. That becomes not only a light on, but they feel free, they feel re-engaged, they no longer feel compressed, they feel no longer feel congested, they feel completely free. And so, again, I'm going back to what is depression hiding for you, getting in touch with that, and also what is the social pressure? Can you remember what used to give you happiness? You know, was it playing jacks on the sidewalk? Was it hopscotch, et cetera? And what were you feeling then? One of the things to not forget is that as a human being, we are all here to heal. We are all here to heal ourselves first and then assist each other. But we are all teachers. And our own experience, we are teachers for those around us. There is no one greater or less than, regardless, and I don't care how much school you've gone to or what description or what piece of paper was handed to you as permission for you to be. There is no greater or less than. There is soul path and where you are and your wisdom based on that, and we are all teachers to each other. So the next thing I lead into is envy, jealousy, the feeling that you're not good enough, not worthy enough, feeling that you have to be something for everyone around you, excluding yourself. One of the first triggers for any kind of emotional or any kind of physical, starting with your immune system, oppression and compression is a feeling of lack of self-worth. It's almost like when you get into that feeling of I'm not good enough, then you tell your, literally, you give direction because you're a divine infinite instrument of perfection. The instrument goes, okay, well, in your perfection, you're going to experience imperfection. Because you're so perfect that what you seek, you will find. And so be careful with the feeling of lack or the feeling of not being worthy, because then that begins the body's structure, communication to begin to, I would almost say, let in everything that matches that vibration and that energetic. So look into social pressures, personal, what are you putting on yourself or others around you, and then where is the light? And if it's not on, there are many different ways to turn that light on. Whether you work with somebody like Ani or myself, I always say start working with yourself. You have the wisdom to unlock that key. Ani?
Absolutely. Very well put, Cynthia. You know, we're all terrified to step into our mastery somehow. And I suppose a lot of it has to do with generational conditioning. You know, we've been told, a lot of us in certain parts of the world certainly, that we have to crawl our way into God's grace or crawl our way to heaven, or we've been told that we're separate from our, you know, from our divine creator, and that our entire life has to be spent validating our lives, which, of course, everybody out there, of course, knows that the one thing you don't have to validate is your existence. The worthiness of your being alone is enough. If you exist, then the divine creator exists and all is well. So a lot of it is just generational conditioning, and yeah, that does seep down into our genetics. I totally agree, and it's a challenge. But hey, that's what we came down for that challenge. So don't believe it because it's in a book, and don't believe it just because you've been taught the same way for 2, 3, 4, 5 thousands of years or whatever. You know, we were terrified to step into our mastery, yet on the other side, before we stepped onto planet Earth, that's exactly what we wanted to do. We thought as a divine being, we didn't have anywhere near the baggage that we carry when we're down on the physical realm, and we thought, this is fun, I can do this, I can think from a divine perspective and make everything manifest on the physical realm. And then, of course, we're born, and, you know, then we start all over again, and we all know how that goes. So, you know, don't buy into it just because the culture teaches you that way. We've all been told we have to, you know, if to sympathize with somebody else, we have to take on their pain. You know, no, we should pray for them and surround them in light, and it's their pain. Now, you know, we take their pain, and now they have their pain, and now we have their pain. And now we've magnified their pain because it's a vibrational universe. So it's in your chakra, it's in their chakra, and then you share it with somebody else at the coffee shop, and it's in their chakra. And before you know it, there's a pandemic of depression. So everybody out there, stop with this, please. You know,
it's in their chakra and in their coffee now.
And yes, and you know, I might want a sip of that coffee. So this is not a good thing. You know, so please surround people with light and let God take care of them. He does such a much better job than we do. You know, empathy, not sympathy. Surround with love. Give love, beam love, let the beams of brightness shine in, but you don't have to share the pain. Share love, share prayer, but not the pain. Whatever you've been, you know, if we've been taught to react to people in a certain way, if it doesn't resonate, you know, come on, it's don't share the pain, share the love. Yeah, that's all we're saying here. It's much simpler than we've been taught. Don't take on other people's pains.
Yeah, the other thing, as I totally agree with, is, you know, so many people feel that in order to be of true service, whatever your definition of true service is to take, like Ani was saying, take on other people's pain, make it better, et cetera. There is help that can be given, of course, with our hands and our work, et cetera. But when you are taking on the pain of another, you are amplifying it, actually, for that other and now for yourself, like Ani was saying. What I was saying earlier was we are teachers. We are all master teachers walking around teaching that if somebody around you is in pain or is in out of balance, you mirror from within you the complete opposite so that not only do you help diminish and transmute the energy of that other person, but you also help to mirror to that person what is possible that they might have forgotten, that you see that for them and you will hold that for them until they can hold it for themselves. It is not the world is in pain, let's hold the pain of the world altogether and amplify it tenfold. It is the world is in pain, let me be a part of the equation of light and outside of that pain so that I can assist to transmute that energetic of pain and introduce into that, let's say, DNA of pain, introduce a new sequence into that DNA, which talks about opportunity, which talks about non-pain, which talks about teaching and standing in the light until that sequence that you just implanted into the pain DNA sequence travels all the way around the world and then comes back to you, then you are being of true service. It's not that to say by any way, shape, or form, either I or Ani are saying that if you feel that true service is to take on another's pain, we are not taking that away from you. But our invitation and our opinion is to assist others greater is literally to be a transmuting mirrored force instead of amplifying what is right there. This environment, I call it the plane of demonstration, is an opportunity to change at every moment. And if you do not feel worthy or if you do not feel the divine within you, it is never too late. Never too late. It doesn't matter if you're 2 years old or 90 years old to return to yourself. And there are many, many tools. Two individuals in the world right here, right now, talking to you can offer you a help and a pathway back to yourself, untangling all the pathways of compression back to yourself and finding yourself, and that in itself being enough to lift you up and rejoin that part of you that once believed everything was possible. Which brings us close to the end of the show, and it's been fascinating. It's an incredible topic that, of course, is worthy of so many more shows. But that is going to be about it, wrapping it up for tonight.
Okay, well, everyone, it's been, yeah, I agree with you, Cynthia. We could talk about this subject for many, many episodes. You know, we love to hear your emails. We love to get your emails and your comments from all over the world. Our email is brazilbrit@gmail.com. That's brazilbrit@gmail.com. Okay. Anything to add, Cynthia, before I sign off?
You know, tune in to our next show, June 1st. It's going to be a very good show. It's going to be literally on medicine, what medicine is, where it came from, why it's here, where it originated from, and what it is doing. And so it'll be an amazing show to tune into and to relate to personally in regards to your own medicine. And don't forget to tune in to the workshop I'm offering on June 13th at Unity of Portland. It's going to offer a tremendous amount of transformation, and you can find that information at Cynthia Sloan, S-L-O-N, the number 9.com. Ani, do you have anything up and coming?
Absolutely. I am teaching my a simplified version of my light body and land and space clearing method, which I have called the Golden Light of Grace. I have two workshops coming up in June, two weekend workshops, June 20th and 21st, and June 27th and 28th. Do send me an email for further information, aniavedisian@hotmail.com, and that information will be on my website as soon as my website manager comes back from Shanghai and puts it on there.
Wonderful.
All right. All right, so lots to look forward to, everyone. I am going to say to you all, it's always a pleasure. Remember, nothing is preordained. And let your imagination drive your incarnation.
And this is Cynthia Sloan. As always, if it resonates, make it your own.